Grace Bible Church today, and we are glad that you are here. In our call to worship during the month of November, we're going to be focusing on the great praise psalms that we find, and we are going to be starting in the last book, the fourth book of the Psalms, next to last, and we're going to focus on some of the thoughts that we see there recorded in those psalms leading up to Psalm 100. And we read beginning at verse 14 of Psalm 90, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. One of the great cries that we see here is a plea for mercy. A plea for mercy. And that is when God holds back what we deserve. That's mercy. We deserve it, but God holds back the judgment. God holds back things that should come our way. And notice in that verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. The mercy of God is associated with our gladness and our joy. That's brought out over and over again throughout the Psalms, the association of God's mercy with the joy and the gladness that should be present in our hearts and lives. I want to encourage you each day to ask God for His mercy. We want His grace. That is a glorious request. But don't ever forget to ask for His mercy. That seems to be the key that we find both in the Old and the New Testaments of how God allows us to be glad in a sin-sick world, in a world that is turned upside down. With the craziness that we are seeing in the world today and supporting heinous things and calling that good, and then defending yourself against the heinous things, we're calling that bad. The world's upside down. But in the midst of that, God's mercy can make you glad. You can find gladness in that. And so I want to encourage you as we walk through these days of November, as we approach Thanksgiving Day, that you and I as believers are not just supposed to be thankful one day out of the year. We're supposed to have our hearts filled with the joy of the Lord, and that comes by asking God not only for His grace, but also for His mercy. May God encourage us with His Word this morning.
Let's turn to number 240 in our hymnals this morning. 240. We'll sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let's consider how the Lord, the great Jehovah God, the one true God, can work in our lives to guide us and to keep us safe to reach Canaan's side. Number 240, verses 1 and 3. Let's stand together to sing, first and last.
Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts because we have a great Savior. We're living in a hostile world where hate is being manifest in every country and in our own, in our higher levels of institutions of learning, in our cities, our politicians, the nations of the world, Father, are exhibiting a hatred and a despise for the Jewish people, Father, that are your people. And right now there's a war going on, not only there, Father, but there are wars going on in many places. We probably have 24 wars going on in the world today, but the one that takes precedent, I should say the two, are the Ukrainian one that we hear all the time, and we're hearing very little, it seems, about the war going on with Israel and those who would like to destroy them, eradicate them from the earth. Father, this is an old, old message. This goes way back. Satan is at work once again. He hasn't stopped, Father, but it's become more apparent when he's working in the hearts of so many who do not know Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning that we've learned about the love of God. Father, your love is based upon who you are. You don't love us because we deserve it, Father. You love us in spite of us. We thank you for that. And Father, that ought to be the message in our own homes, for our own families, and between husbands and wives. We thank you, Father, because we can do this because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, a part of the lesson we learned this morning in terms of the Trinity. Father, you so loved us that you sent your Son to die for us, and you've placed your Holy Spirit in us. And the only reason we can even live any kind of a faithful life is because of the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning, Father, that we'd be dedicating our time to you. It seems so little to dedicate to a God who dedicates all his time for his creation. We thank you, and I thank you for the message we're going to hear this morning. Because, Father, I'm grateful for the Apostle Paul, who at one time was a murderer, but he could say, Father, that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a power unto salvation. And then we get to move into those who think they're so smart, Father, those who do not need Jesus Christ, who think we came out of nowhere and out of nothing. They're such intellectuals, Father, but you tell us in Romans, declaring themselves to be wise, they're fools. But Father, give us a love for those who do not know you, because the things that are happening in the world is based upon an absence of Jesus Christ in the hearts of men. I pray this morning that your church, who is indwelt by your Holy Spirit, would give time to you, and that we'd live it out through our week. We're grateful for all the answered prayers, and we do entrust to you those who are traveling and have sickness. But Father, help us now to dedicate our thoughts to you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be seated. And over now to 256. 256. Let's sing I Will Praise Him, number 256. We'll sing the first three verses.
Let
Let's turn over now to number 386, a good hymn for this Thanksgiving season. Rejoice, ye pure in heart, number 386. We just want to sing verses 1 and 3, number 386.
God's people said, amen. Appreciate that beautiful arrangement of We Gather Together by Chrissy Gambold. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series in the month of November relating to the spirit of gratitude, the spirit of gratitude. And I'm going to be dealing in a section of the Bible today that brings to light just how awful, just how horrible ingratitude is. I don't know about you, but there's been much in the news recently. Words are used to describe what Hamas did in Israel as heinous, wicked, debased, vicious, and depraved. Those are all words that I took from the media. But guess what? They used the same words yesterday when thousands came to Washington, D.C., took paint, slapped their hands all along the fence of the White House on all the marble, and said those same words about Israel. defending themselves against the attacks. All of that is called heinous. The destruction of lives, the killing of babies, the raping of women, that's all called, vicious, heinous, all the different adjectives you could use to describe that. But I want us to look today at what God says about two aspects concerning Himself that are awful. They show human depravity, and we as human beings don't go there very often. We like to identify these horrible acts as heinous and depraved behavior, but God says there's two other behaviors that are just as heinous, they're just as awful, and they are this: to not glorify God as God, and number two, not to have a grateful heart to God for all that He is. These are things that God say show and illustrate just how humanly depraved we are. I want to begin reading at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1 as we consider the two surprising details about human depravity. Beginning at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That word "hold" there means to suppress, to hold down the truth. They have the knowledge that God exists and that He's a righteous God, but they choose to hold it down and suppress it and to seek to cover it. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without" what? Everyone say it, please. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. Verse 21. "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that You'd open our eyes this morning to understand these two surprising details that You consider to show human depravity. I pray that You'd awaken us this morning to realize just how awful it is not to give glory that's due Your holy and matchless name, and then not to be thankful. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts and minds to understand this, and may Your Holy Spirit teach us. Yes, this world is full of horrible things, and man does horrible things to others. We say that shows human depravity, but there are other things that show it as well. And I pray that we might see these two things that are identified by inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter 1, I think it's important for us to understand and know as he moves through this doctrinal section of Romans and unfolds for us just how corrupt the human heart is and its great need for the Savior, that we're careful that Paul is not seeking to prove that man is a sinner. If you try to keep that in mind as you study beginning in chapter 1, that he's trying to prove that man's a sinner, you're going to miss the point. Because Paul states as fact that man is a sinner. And he works from there to show the things that indicate that he's a sinner. Not to prove it, it's a fact, Paul is saying. But he's showing us ways in which the human heart, in its depraved condition, works itself out in the world. And we're going to see in verse 21 that it works itself out in two surprising ways that God identifies that we would put other things in their place as showing the depravity of the human heart. But God puts these two things in the place. And I think it's important because this is the foundation that we're going to move forward in these series of messages in the month of November. We're taking a break from our series in Ecclesiastes to focus in on why we need to be thankful. What we've been delivered from. That breaking from the kingdom of Satan and being brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ changes how we view life. It changes how you and I think about things that are in our lives and things that happen to us in this life. And it changes the way we think. Whereas before we were filled with unthankfulness and ingratitude, now because of Jesus Christ, that's been transformed. And I now want to glorify His name and I want to be thankful. I hope and pray that this will be a self-examination for all of us to realize that when we're not grateful, when we're sitting in a restaurant, I'll show you how this works out. You're sitting in a restaurant and the waiter or the waitress doesn't move fast enough for you. The ingratitude starts to well up in our hearts, does it not? And we may bark at or say something negative to this because they're not moving fast like we would want them to move. Yet if you were in their position doing all the tables that they are doing, you would not be fast. Right? We're not putting ourselves in that position. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm the one on the receiving end. But put yourself on the other side and you would not be fast. And then how would you appreciate it? If someone, not understanding that, not appreciating the busyness of the moment, bark out some kind of a statement. Ingratitude. That's how it plays out. In simple ways. Now, Christian, do you want to have a witness in this world? Or do you want to live like the world lives? Salvation in Christ changes our heart, and the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and He empowers us to be grateful. Because we're not naturally, as human beings, grateful, are we? It's very apparent. You see it from little children all the way up through adults. Ingratitude. We're all guilty of this. We're not thankful for this, that, or the other. And we're quick to show our ingratitude. There's a principle here that's related to the depraved human heart. And we're going to see that hopefully is brought out in this series. And we're going to move from here to expressions of a spirit of gratitude in the New Testament. We're going to be looking specifically in the New Testament how this plays out in our lives. Rather than just saying, all right, everybody be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Now, we should be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. You can be thankful for your turkey and your cranberry sauce and your dressing and your pumpkin pie, or if you're in the South, your pecan pie. And you can be grateful for all those things, but what about the next day, Black Friday? Woo! The ugly comes out. People trample to death while they're going over there to get their new latest technology. Knocking people out of the way. We've seen all kinds of horrible things happen on Black Friday. Is that the spirit of gratitude? And sadly, people who name themselves as Christians are leading the way. They look like football linemen running through the aisles to get their things. Wow, is that how we're supposed to live in this world? Oh, it's okay on Black Friday. It's all right. Where does it say that in the Bible? I'm sure it's there somewhere that will exonerate me from any kind of, you know, evil intent or anything like that. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Let's look at what God has to say in this passage of Scripture, because I believe that we need to have some reminders, all of us, about this nature of ours that doesn't like to give glory. And we're going to look at that word that's used there because it means to value. And then we don't value God as God, and then we're not thankful to Him for what He has done. Let's look at some of the things that I want to share here. I want you to see verse 21, a statement about humanity that you and I need to let soak in. And this is Paul's point. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. People need the gospel because they are what? Sinners. He's not simply saying, all right, I'm gonna lay out, I'm going to prove here that humans are sinners. He says, no, I preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed to give the gospel because people are sinners and they need the Savior. But then he develops how that God has shown to every human being on the planet that He exists. He exists two ways that you'll note. Look at verse 19 for just a moment. Because that which may be known of God, notice this please, is manifest where? In them. Chapter 2 goes into detail about the conscience that God has gifted to every human being. And the Gentiles do those things which the Jews had the law for, but they do those things by nature. How did that happen? Because God gave every human being a gift. And it's this, the knowledge that God exists. He said there's two ways, one in creation. If you look at the next verse, verse 20, it makes that very clear. For the invisible things of Him, can we see God? No, He's invisible. But we can see His handiwork from the creation of the world, and they're clearly seen. They're clearly seen. God has demonstrated in all of His creative acts that He exists. Oh, there's divine intricacy in everything that He has created. It was interesting. They found a boat in England. They were doing digging work to put in new tubes, the subway system there in London. And they were digging through and they found the remains of a ship. And they were able to determine the age of the ship by doing something very simple. Counting the rings of the lumber that was used in that ship. There was a remaining masthead. So they cut it and counted the rings, and they were able to determine that it dated from the 1500s, that it had been built sometime in the 1500s. Using a dating system, counting the simple rings, God has put that in His own creation. God has established the intricacy of your body. It didn't just happen. God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did He create? The Bible says He created a living soul. Now that's the only time that's used, and it's with Adam and Eve, that He made two living souls. He didn't do that with the animal kingdom. He didn't do that with the plant kingdom. He didn't do it with any other kingdom, but He did it with humankind. That means we're made, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, in the image and likeness of God. He took care to demonstrate His power in human beings. But He also took care in demonstrating His power and creative genius in everything that's created. And it bears witness that God is eternal, that God is powerful. and it bears witness to every human being. The second area, of course, as we already mentioned, is the conscience. God has gifted every one of us. It's in us that it bears witness that there is a God. So, because of that, end of verse 20, humankind is without what? Excuse. I remember we had a Sunday school lesson one time in our society Sunday school class, and we had a young man that was instructed to do the lesson, and he decided to go out on his own with the lesson. And he tried to make the argument that not all sinners will be cast into hell because some of them never have heard the message of Jesus Christ and they don't know about God. And he went on and on, and he was talking in circles, and by the time he was done, everybody was so confused, we didn't know what he was teaching. And so a few of us went up to him afterwards and said, "Can we talk to you?" Said, "What do you do with Romans chapter 1 and verse 20? It says, they are without excuse. That's all humankind. Not just some. That's all humankind. Because God has borne witness of Himself in creation and inside the human being, in what we know as conscience, that He exists, that His creation comes from Him, divinely made, intelligent design, if you want to call it that. I really don't like that because I don't want it to sound like, you know, Star Wars, the Force, which is a lot of people, what they do with that. No, 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 no. We have the person of God demonstrated in creation and inside of you. It bears witness. So, number one, although they know, and there's a Greek word, gnosko, that's used there, they have first-hand knowledge. How many of you have first-hand knowledge that a stove is hot? How did you gain that knowledge, Mr. O'Pager?
It has a pretty young
time. You did? You found out? And it stuck with you throughout life, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Stove is hot. You don't do that anymore. Yeah. I found out that ovens get hot. As a child, I slapped my hand on the glass of the oven, and I came away with blisters all over my hand, and I learned a very valuable lesson about stoves. I had to learn another lesson about tailpipes. We had a go-kart, and my dad had put on one of those long tailpipes on that thing, and I went to start it up thinking that it was cold, and it wasn't. So this hand got burned. This hand got burned on the oven glass. This hand got burned on the tailpipe. It takes two things for a brainer to catch on to things. All right? I grabbed a hold of that tailpipe to pull, and it just smoked my hand. I tell you, I had blisters all over my hand because I thought it was cold, and it wasn't. It was hot. Now, although they know the God, this is interesting at the language that Paul uses. He puts an article in front of the name of God. How is an article important? It distinguishes Him from all others that men might say are God. No, He is the God. Ton theon is the Greek phrase that's used there. The God! You mean that human beings have first-hand knowledge of the God? And the answer from Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 is yes. Yes. Please understand that humans cannot say, "Oh, I'm just ignorant. I didn't know." Oh, no. It's everywhere. It's in them and it's outside of them. The witness of God. He demonstrates by His works. And what is the desire of the human heart? To receive God? No. What do? They do not glorify Him for who He is. This word that we have here, that is in the Greek language, eidoxasson, this particular word means to ascribe weight, recognizing real substance. In other words, to value. What do you value this morning? We don't have time to go around the room, but some people value certain things to be important to them. I have an insulator that I bought. Mr. O'Pager gave me some insulators that his, I guess, family had kept through the years, and they were used for telegraph and telephone and electricity. They were put on top of the poles, and they were made out of glass. I have one that has the original mint date of January the 25th, 1870 on it. It was in the first line of the Brookfield Insulators in New York State. I value that. You look at it, it looks awful. It's got on the inside, remember the old steam engines and the black smoke that would pour out of them? The whole inside of this insulator is coated with that black smut that's just embedded in the glass. On the outside, it's got 140 years of wear. Who knows how long it sat on top of a pole, how long it may have sat in somebody's house? I don't know. But I value that insulator. Now, some people would look at that and said, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? I just like collecting them, and I like doing the history of them. This, I bought it for $36. That's it. I've seen it as high as $250, that one insulator. But I got it for a lot less than that after dickering with a fella. Then I don't think he actually knew what the value was. He just saw that the other people were getting that amount, and that's what he put on there. But I value that one. And there are a lot of other ones that I have that I value just because of their history, because of their rareness. That adds value. But how do you value God? Oh, let me tell you something. He is the rarest of rare. He's God Almighty. And you and I, because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, and if you're without Jesus Christ today, salvation transforms your thinking and you begin to value God. Your prayer time should always begin with a thankful spirit to thank God for who He is and that He deigned to love you and me and proved it by sending His only begotten Son. Oh, it's easy to say the word love. I love you. Sometimes we mean it, and sometimes we just said it because we want everybody to know we said it. I'm good now, right? No, that's not. Do you mean it? The point of this first one in verse 21, statement about the human depravity, is that we don't value God as God. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. That's a depravity problem. Not glorifying God as God. Not valuing Him as God. We don't put much value to Him because other things come ahead of Him. That's part of the human condition. That's part of depravity. You know, people get offended sometimes. They give a gift maybe for a birthday, or they give a gift at Christmas time, and somebody opens it up and says, oh, and you automatically, all right, oh, they didn't like the gift I got for them. I spent all of 10 minutes looking for that, and they don't like it. I'm going to go get the receipt, and I'll give it to them, and I'm going to tell them, if you want to take it back, take it back. And they get offended, right? When do we get past that? When do we get past that? How old do we have to be? Is there a line or a threshold we can cross over where we stop being junior high in our mentality? I get it. Sometimes you get something that you really don't care for. And sometimes it doesn't fit. So you have to take it back. But some people have such a high threshold, and you can't meet it. If the good Lord Jesus went shopping, He'd come back with something that they didn't like. All right? Because I got to have this certain thing. All right? Now think for just a moment. We get offended whenever somebody they're not grateful for the present that we bought them for their birthday or for Christmas or for some other time of the year. We get offended about that. Now think about dear Father in heaven, who deals with the ungrateful hearts, the ingrates that are supposed to be His children. Blaming God when something happens in our family. I just don't understand. Why God allowed this to happen. Whoa. Stop for just a moment. That's a heart of ingratitude. You're blaming God? How come we never blame ourselves for getting ourselves into a situation perhaps that we shouldn't have been in to start with, and then we blame God for it doesn't turn out like we want to? Well, I asked God to bless it. Well, that's not how it works. We need to step back. God said that the majority of humanity have chosen not to glorify God as God, not to value Him as God. For example, giving, ascribing glory to God personally acknowledges God in His true character, His essence. And we choose, I'm not going there. Think about this. Next thought here, and our time is almost gone. Man is not ignorant of God's existence. God has clearly revealed it in creation. He's clearly revealed it inside of you, the witness of conscience. All of creation, according to verses 19 and 20, and the conscience within every human cries that there is a divine being who is the Godhead. The Godhead. But what has happened? Look back at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. Isn't it frustrating listening to our media today at their consistent efforts to suppress the truth so that we don't have an actual picture of what is happening around the world? We have their picture of how they've interpreted, and they want you to think their way. We have to be careful as Christians. It's so easy to get caught up with the media version of how things happen. Occasionally, they'll get it right. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Every once in a while, they'll get it right. But for the most part, they're deceptive. And this is the point about our human heart, our depravity. We are deceived beings. And God seeks to bring us out of our deception, believing that we're fine without Him, to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can come to faith in Him and receive Him and gain His righteousness and let go of ours, because our righteousness is insufficient. That is why humanity, apart from Christ, will go to eternal damnation. They knew there was an eternal God, and they willfully rejected Him. They willfully rejected Him. You look at all the religions of the world. We got a Bible fair coming up, and my juniors and seniors are taking alternative worldviews, from religious point of views to secular point of views, and they're comparing it to the biblical worldview for their Bible fair project. And some of them have chosen some interesting worldviews. And it's going to be interesting to see them develop that and to grow that. But everyone, there's something consistent about all worldviews other than the biblical worldview. They have a twisted view of who God is. They have a perverted view of who God is. They've named themselves as God, secular humanist. Or they believe nature, God is in pieces and parts of nature, pantheism. Shintoism in Japan, very popular, believes that God's in all the insects and plants and things of that nature that are around. And so another form of pantheism. But they don't have a God. They have many gods. Many gods. They've broken Him all up in pieces and parts. Why do they do that? Because their worldview lens, the things that they look through, reject automatically. Out of just pure human depravity, they reject the concept that God made all things. That witness within them, they reject that. The witness of creation all around them, they reject that. And they go in a completely different direction. Their view of God is twisted and perverted. That is the consistent thing with all the worldviews that are there. So we have to understand and know this, and I'm just going to introduce this because our time is gone. The second thing that we're going to focus on, Lord willing, in the near future, Lord willing, next Sunday. As humans grow more conceited in their self-styled knowledge, they refuse to thank God for all He's done. And we're going to look at this Greek word that's used there, thankful. It's two words put together. You, meaning that which is good, and then charistasan. Right, we get Eucharist is a word that we get from that, the English form of this word. Good grace. Charis is grace. They don't accept the good grace of God. Do you realize that that's the heart of ingratitude? Not accepting the good grace of God. And we're going to, Lord willing, develop this point. Because God puts it in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1 to identify how depraved the human heart is. It refuses to give glory to God. It refuses to value God as God. But it goes even further than that in its depravity, the human heart. It refuses to be thankful, to recognize the good grace of God. Would you bow your heads, please? I know that many of you are discouraged by what we're seeing in the world today. We have the nation of Israel that's under attack, and we're witnessing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Americans that are siding with the wrong side. They're siding with a people group that despise and hate anything about Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that Israel is perfect. But God says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to recognize something about God's chosen people. I know that we're discouraged. But I want you to know that there's something else that you should consider in your own heart and life. Am I glorifying, am I valuing God as God in my life and in my thinking? Am I thankful for the one who sent His Son to die for me? Am I thankful for God? Am I appreciative of His good grace? I hope that you'll examine your heart and life this morning. And that if you're not glorifying God, if you're not appreciating and are grateful for the good grace of God, that something would happen in your heart and life today, a turning to Him for forgiveness and cleansing, and begin that process that comes from the transforming grace of God. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. It's so easy to get so busy in this world that the simple things, glorifying God, valuing God in our lives, gets put on the back burner. We don't appreciate the goodness of Your grace. And as a result of that, we live in such a way that looks like what we were before we were saved. Lord, that's the human depraved heart demonstrating itself. Help us to estimate things according to how You think. The abomination could be murder. It could be horrendous acts of violence. But the abomination is a rejection of the glory of God and a rejection of a heart of gratitude for God. These are the things that are an abomination. Help us to understand these things and to know these things, so that we can always have a proper spirit of gratitude, a proper spirit of valuing who You are as our God. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close with number 453 this morning. We thank the Lord for the message that we truly would value our Lord, have a heart of gratitude, and we need to understand His way to do that. Number 453. Pray that we would be taught the way of the Lord. Number 453, teach me Thy way, O Lord. Let's stand together. Close with that first verse.
Teach me Thy way.
thank you for the message this morning that you have poured out your grace upon us. And Father, help us to have this perspective of gratitude and thanksgiving for what you've done for us, because that will radically change the way we view our lives. Father, thank you for what you've done, for the message this morning and its emphasis. And we just ask you to bless this day and be with our brother Viapin as he comes tonight. May we receive a blessing from him as well. Thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Bless you.